This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Monday, January 31st. Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us across America on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is the feast of St. John Bosco, the founder of the Salesians, named in honor of St. Francis de Sales and the Daughters of Our Lady Help of Christians. St. John Bosco was a great educator who loved working with young boys and girls, so he was called the Apostle of Youth. On Mondays, traditionally, we remember to pray for the souls in purgatory, especially those of our loved ones and relatives who are being purified with the hope of getting to heaven someday. They absolutely need our prayers. I want to bring in my partner, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, the big story continues to be the snow.
Absolutely, John. Folks still, especially in the Northeast, digging out record snowfalls over the weekend. 23 inches in the Boston area, parts of Long Island, a foot and a half. Three people died on Long Island while shoveling snow, sadly, even into Central Park, over 8 inches in New York City. So lots of digging out still to be done today, and more on the way for parts of the country. Cool temps down south and Chicagoland in the bullseye for more snow, possibly on Wednesday.
Well, we'll be ready here in the Windy City. Now, yesterday, a lot of folks across our country were watching the two championship games. Super Bowl 56 is all set with the Rams and the Bengals.
That's right. Great weekend for watching football in the comfort of your den, perhaps. But the lineup is set. Bengals, an upset, some might say. Many upsets in the postseason this year in Cincinnati's first trip in well over 30 years to the big game.
Yeah, it was a huge game. It was an exciting game as the Bengals, they came back from 18 points down. It was amazing. Joe Burrow, the quarterback, did a great job. They win it 27-24 in overtime on a dramatic 31-yard field goal by Evan McPherson. They're headed to the Super Bowl for the first time since the 88 season, and they'll be taking on the Rams, who won the NFC Championship with a dramatic win of their own 2017 over the San Francisco 49ers. Matt Gay with the game-winning field goal from 30 yards out as heard on Fox.
Here's Gay from 30 yards out. He's got it. Rams are on top. Garoppolo under pressure. Donald got there in the intercepted by the Rams, and they may ride to the Super Bowl on that.
And that was all she wrote. Rams will be taking on the Bengals in Super Bowl 56. Glenn, do you think they'll have a little advantage playing in front of their home crowd?
Well, it'll be interesting. Historically, the last couple of years playing in L.A., the visiting teams have always brought so many folks along, including yesterday from 49er fans. But, second time in a row now, a home team essentially will be playing Tampa Bay. Had the same situation last year as well. Rams look good, but, boy, hard to stop the Bengals this year, too. So 2 weeks away from the Super Bowl. And, by the way, next week there will be a game. How hard it's played kind of varies from year to year. That's the Pro Bowl coming up next Sunday.
Absolutely. That'll be next weekend, the Super Bowl, 2 weeks from yesterday. Thanks again, Glenn.
Sure thing, John.
As always, we start every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death, amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 1 John 4:18. The beloved disciple, St. John, writes, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." During the past 2 years, so many of us have been living in fear. Fear of the COVID-19 virus, fear of the Delta variant, fear of Omicron, whatever the issue, our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want us to live in fear. In tomorrow's gospel, Jesus bluntly says, "Fear is useless. What is needed is trust." Present your fears to Jesus, the Lord. What we need absolutely is trust. This is why we pray with great confidence, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Once again, it's time to continue our weekly Be Formed series. Last week, we talked about the presentation of the gift. Today, we're going to discuss the preface and the Sanctus in Holy Mass. Did you know that the prefix goes all the way back to the Christians of the early church and was first reported in the Eucharistic prayer of St. Hippolytus way back in the year 215 AD? Joining us now with much more to continue his Be Formed series is our spiritual director, Father Burke Master, the Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain, known as the baseball priest, as well as the director for the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, and a longtime Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Father Burke. Thanks so much for being with us once again. Always great to be with you.
Good morning, John. Same here. Always great to be with you. And was another exciting round of football games yesterday.
Yes, it was. It was, and it's two weekends in a row that there's been some really exciting games, and I got to see both of the endings of those two ball games, the two championship games. Any one of these two teams looks to you like the favorite, the Rams and the Bengals?
Well, I saw the line is the Rams are the favorite, but I think a lot of people are going to be pulling for the Bengals as kind of, you know, they've never won a Super Bowl, and really young quarterback. Although Matthew Stafford spent many years in Detroit, and now having a chance to be in the Super Bowl as well, should be interesting. I think I'm going to be pulling for the Bengals myself. I found something interesting. You were talking about the home field advantage. Last year was the sixth time a team played in their home stadium for the Super Bowl, but Tampa Bay was the first one to win, and so the first five home teams lost. So we'll see what happens with the Rams in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. A lot of storylines. Quarterback Joe Burrow of the Bengals has a chance to match the great Joe Montana and Joe Namath as the only quarterbacks to win a national championship in college football and a Super Bowl championship as well. So it's definitely going to be interesting.
Yeah, seems like a very mature young man playing. The quarterback play in the last 2 weeks for everybody's just been incredible. So it's been every game down to the last seconds, which is rare. It's been amazing to watch.
Well, Father, I just want to tell you that after you and I chat coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to introduce an outstanding college football player who has chosen the Lord. He's going to the seminary. Landry Weber is going to be joining us to tell his story of how God has called him from being a Division I Kansas State football player to the priesthood. So that'll be coming up at 7:30. Well, Father, let's continue with your series, your Be Formed series. Today, we're going to be talking about the Eucharistic prayer and the preface.
Yeah, as you mentioned in the intro there, what drew me to the Catholic Church there were many things, but one of them was just this unbroken connection between the time of Christ and what we do today at Mass. And as you mentioned, St. Hippolytus in 215 AD records pretty much the same words of the introductory dialogue of the prayer when we say, you know, the Lord be with you and with your spirit, lift up your hearts, we lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God, it is right and just. So even though the words may have changed just slightly to in English to recently just to connect with the original Latin, we have this tradition of, you know, the Mass goes back to the time of Christ, and it's not something that was created, you know, 50 years, 100 years ago. It was instituted by Christ, and so it should be something that we really appreciate when we go to Mass, that we understand, wow, these are many of the same things that the apostles and their followers did in the early church, which is so powerful.
Now, for those of us who like to use a missal in Mass, I'm always amazed at all the different prefaces. There's so many different prefaces for all the different occasions. Can you talk a little bit about all the many different prefaces that we have?
For pretty much any occasion, there's a preface that is, you know, for that occasion. For example, if you go to a wedding, you're going to hear in the preface, you know, something about the two becoming one flesh, and it draws from Scripture. That's one of the things that I'm hoping to get across during this BeForm series, is how scriptural the Mass is, not just the readings that we do, but the Eucharistic prayer, the collect, the prayer after communion. They draw from Scripture always. You might go, you know, to Mass coming up in just over a month. We're going to begin the season of Lent, and there'll be prefaces that will talk about this time of preparation and getting ready for the Paschal mystery. Then when we get to Easter, we're going to talk about, you know, praise and thanksgiving for Jesus's resurrection from the dead, giving us new life. And so I really hope that we can pay attention when the Lord says, lift up your hearts, for example, to prepare for the preface. What basically he's saying is, you know, lift up the heart is the center of our being, our thoughts, emotions, our desires. Put your heart on that altar and pay attention, because something really important is about to happen in the consecration. You know, and oftentimes at Mass, we can get distracted. We can be thinking about the football game that's coming up, or the shopping list that we've got to do after Mass. What are the kids, you know, activities going to be today? And we miss the miracle that happens on the altar in the consecration. So pay attention when the Lord when the priest or the bishop says, lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord, meaning I'm here present. And I love when I talk to young people love to time travel. And so I said, do you know what's happening at Mass? You get to time travel. You're at the altar, you know, when the priest is consecrating, all of us are sitting around the Last Supper with Jesus, and we're kneeling at the foot of the cross where Jesus made that one sacrifice for the salvation of the world. And so, you know, this isn't something that's boring. This is something that should grab our attention and say, oh my gosh, look at what's happening here.
Father Burke, I so like the fact that you reminded our listeners that the Mass is so scriptural. I remember Dr. Scott Hahn years ago, the first time he walked into a Catholic Mass. He was an anti-Catholic Protestant at one time. He walked into a Catholic Mass, and he was just blown away with the amount of scripture that we have. I mean, if you take from the very beginning, from the sign of the cross all the way to the very amen to end the Mass, it's all scriptural. There's scripture throughout it all.
It is. Yeah, his book, Rome Sweet Home, really impacted me. And as you said, he was a Presbyterian minister, scripture scholar, and he took his Bible to a daily Mass because he wanted to prove that it was the worst thing created by man. And as he started listening to this Mass, I think it was like a Tuesday morning, he thought, wow, that's from Jeremiah, and that's from Isaiah, and that's from Matthew, and that's from Revelation. And he went home thinking, oh, they got lucky today. I'm going to go back tomorrow and prove that this is terrible, you know. And it drew him in. And, of course, his wife at the time tried to talk him out of, you know, she saw that he was moving toward, because he loved Scripture, he was moving toward becoming Catholic. And then eventually she ended up becoming Catholic with him, and they brought many of their friends. So if somebody maybe is listening that's not Catholic, or or they're wondering, gosh, what are the biblical foundations of the Mass? You know, do some study because it is full of Scripture. For example, go ahead,
Father.
No, I was just going to say at the end of the preface, when we sing the Sanctus, you know, the Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. That's both from the prophet Isaiah. So Isaiah had a vision where he was in heaven and, you know, God was seated on his throne and the seraphim, which literally means the burning ones, the angels, were gathered around him and they were singing, Holy, Holy, Holy. And in the book of Revelation, St. John had a similar vision of Isaiah. This time Jesus was seated on the throne and the seraphim were gathered around him and the angels and saints, and they were singing, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. So I think this is so powerful. As a priest, you know, when I'm at the altar and we're singing the Holy, 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 I just envision, you know, as I look up, the heavens open up, and what we call the heavenly liturgy, the angels and saints are constantly gathered around Jesus in heaven singing, Holy, Holy, Holy. We are participating in that praise and adoration of Jesus in heaven. And as somebody, you know, both of my parents are deceased, and God willing, they're with the Lord, with all those angels and saints singing, Holy, Holy, Holy. And I think about, wow, at this moment, I get to sing with them and all the angels and saints the praise of God, rather than, okay, I've heard this song before, Holy, 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 to imagine, you know, I'm in heaven singing with the angels and saints.
Yeah, it is really moving when you look at it, especially from a scriptural perspective, knowing that the Holy, Holy, Holy comes directly from the prophet Isaiah and also repeated in the book of Revelation. In fact, the book of Revelation is filled with a ton of scripture that ties into the Mass. This is a whole nother book that Dr. Hahn later on wrote, The Lamb's Supper, which I happen to have the opportunity to talk to him about it years ago. It's really powerful when you look at all the scriptural verses that are in the book of Revelation that have to do with our Mass. You see the power and the beauty and the majesty of our Mass coming alive, Father.
Amen. That's one of my favorite books, actually, The Lamb's Supper. Yeah, and just continuing there, when we say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, that comes right from Psalm 118, verse 26, and also Matthew chapter 21, verse 9. We know that when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem in preparation for his passion, you know, they put their cloaks on the ground, and Jesus was riding in on, what, a donkey. So it used to be the kings would enter Jerusalem on a horse, this triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And here the King of Kings is entering humbly on a donkey. And the people had their palm branches, and they were waving them, singing, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so what we're doing there as we're singing, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, we are preparing to welcome Jesus, the King of Kings, his triumphant entry among us right here on this altar. Yes, he's in the tabernacle at all times. And that's one of the beauties of, you know, any Catholic church in the world that you go by, Jesus is present there in the tabernacle. And then in a special way, in a miraculous way, every Mass, Jesus becomes present on that altar. The simple gifts of bread and wine that we offer, and we talked about placing ourselves on that paten and in the chalice and the offertory, that offering through the power. Next week, we're going to talk about the epiclesis, the calling down of the Holy Spirit that transforms the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. Jesus becomes present, the King of Kings. And that's why at the end of the Holy, Holy, what do? We drop to our knees because we are preparing to receive the King among us.
Absolutely. We drop to our knees because we're not worshiping mere bread and wine, but the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's only fitting that we should be on our knees in adoration during that moment of the Holy, 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 the Sanctus.
Amen. And a little plug for the 7-minute video. I don't know if you've seen it, John. It's called The Veil Removed. You can, if you just Google The Veil Removed, it's on YouTube. It's a 7-minute video about the Mass that helps us see the spiritual realities, things that we don't see with our physical eyes, but it's actually what's going on. They visualize for us, you know, the angels present among us, you know, us, you know, that the priest during the Mass is acting in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. And it's this incredible realization of what's really happening. I had a mom, I recommended this video, and I had a mom tell me that she's been watching this with her 6-year-old, and he wants to watch it repeatedly. And now at Mass, the 6-year-old during the consecration is saying, "My Lord and my God," like it says in the video. And he's starting to realize, he's like, he's asking mom, like, "Where is the Blessed Mother right now? And where are the angels?" So I can't recommend that enough. The Veil Removed.
It sounds very powerful. The Veil Removed. And Father, that little guy sounds like he might have a vocation down the road.
I wouldn't be surprised. And that's the beauty. If we form our children well, you know, I think vocations flourish not only to the priesthood and religious life, but holy marriages, where the vocation of a married couple is to help one another and their children get to heaven. That's the vocation of a priest. My spouse is the church, and everybody is part of my family. And my call is to help my family get to heaven as well. And one of the beautiful ways to do that is helping them appreciate the beauty of the Mass.
Well, Father Burke, I so much appreciate all your teachings and your spiritual perspective. It's so important for all of us to really understand the Mass at a deeper level. And that's something that you bring week in and week out. Thanks so much, Father Burke.
Thanks, John. God bless, and have a great week.
You too. We'll see you next time. Father Burke Masters, a director of the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, also known as the Baseball Priest and a Morning Air regular contributor. We're going to take a break. When Morning Air continues, you're going to meet Landry Weber, a Kansas State football player who's answered the call of Christ to enter the seminary and pursue the priesthood. You're not going to want to miss this. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's the final
countdown. And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. Again, our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, with the NFL and football on the minds of many Americans this past weekend, including this reporter, as we finally saw the Rams and the Bengals headed to Super Bowl 56, I want to bring you an inspirational story of football and faith. Dreaming of playing professional football on Sundays in the NFL is on the minds of many young college and high school players. When you have the talent to pursue this dream, or you think you have the talent, it can be hard turning down any opportunities. When it comes to turning it down for a higher call from the Lord, might be a little bit easier. Let me share a few football highlights of our next guest, 23-year-old Kansas State wide receiver and special teams player Landry Weber, a first-team academic All-Big 12 honoree.
Thompson, end zone, touchdown! What a day for Landry Weber! And it's to Landry Weber, and for Landry, that will be his fourth reception of the afternoon.
You know, I'm really just trying to contribute in any way that I can, and we have a really good running offense, and, you know, any way that I can contribute, and a lot of times with our offense, that is getting down there and making some blocks, and, you know, if I can spring a touchdown, it's just as exciting for me to spring a touchdown as it was to score one last week. I feel like being on special teams has helped me a ton because I've gotten a lot of experience blocking on special teams, and that really transitions to the offense.
He scrambles, Thompson, and there is Landry Weber breaking free inside Sooner territory. He picks up 28.
Landry Weber was one of Kansas State Wildcats' leading receivers, whose career ended with a 42-20 win over the LSU Tigers in the Texas Bowl back on January 4th. It was at that game where the news of his vocation reached a national stage. Joining us now is Landry Weber to share his powerful story from the football field to the seminary. Good morning, Landry. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you.
Good morning. I appreciate you guys having me on this morning.
Absolutely. It's a thrill for me. Just to let you know, I'm a former sports reporter, sports anchor for many, many years. So I saw a ton of college and pro football over the years, so I can truly appreciate where you come from and where you're headed.
It's a great sport. I've grown up watching it my whole life, and I was very fortunate to be able to play it at a college level.
Tell us a little bit about your background. I'm sure you were playing it as a little guy. You come from a very athletic family. Give us a little thumbnail sketch of your background and your family.
Yeah, I'm the youngest of four children, and my dad was a collegiate athlete. He played football as a starting quarterback at Kansas State as well. And then I also got the opportunity to watch my brother play football at K-State, and my sister also played volleyball at Kansas State. So I was the last one to make it to K-State. Grew up watching a lot of K-State football, spending a lot of times at games. My dad still is the color analyst at Kansas State. So grew up around the program, grew up watching a lot of Kansas State football, and spent my childhood thinking about the day that I'd get the opportunity to play at K-State. And I was very fortunate to get to play five seasons there, and loved every minute of it.
Landry, how instrumental was your dad in making you the type of player that you became over the years, going all the way back to when you were just a little guy?
It was huge. He really instilled a lot of core values in me that helped me in life and in football. He taught me how to work hard, how to do the right thing, how to focus on the fundamentals and not to get distracted by other things, and just focus on yourself. And he taught me a ton about the game, and my older brother also taught me a ton being able to watch him. He's been a huge role model for me, kind of paving the path in front of me to follow, and I just continue to follow both of those guys, and they've helped me a ton on my football career.
Now, you made it on as a walk-on at K-State, a Division I school. Did you ever dream of playing in the pros, or was your main goal to just play for the Wildcats one day?
Yeah, I definitely, as a kid, would say I had thought about playing in the NFL. And once I got to college and walked on, I didn't focus as much on the NFL and just more focused on a day-to-day basis, year-to-year basis, and trying to make it. Because as a walk-on, you got an uphill battle to climb. And so I was just focused on that uphill battle that I had at K-State. And if I was able to be good enough or make it to the NFL, then I'd be open to going to the NFL. And but really, once I got to college, I just started focus on having a good college career. And if you do that, the rest will take care of itself if the opportunity presents itself.
Landry, you had to have a lot of faith. Obviously, you have faith. You come from a faith-filled family. But faith from a football perspective that you could make it on as a walk-on, because that is not an easy feat to make it on to a Division I level school.
No, and my attitude was that I just needed a ticket. And once I was on the team, I really put it behind my mind that I was a walk-on and just treated myself the same as everyone else. And what's also great about the Kansas State program is that nobody cares if you're a walk-on or if you're a scholarship athlete. They just care if you play, if you can make plays. And so once you're there, you can't even tell who's on scholarship and who's not. And I just put my head down and worked extremely hard throughout my career, and was fortunate enough to earn a scholarship about halfway through my career, and was very blessed for that. And it just taught me a lot of good lessons on how to work hard and how to be humble and then be appreciative of the gifts of football.
Well, Landry, it was in the Texas Bowl where K-State beat LSU 42-20. It would turn out to be your final game in which the announcement was made that you were going to the seminary to pursue the priesthood after your career would be over. How far back, how long ago did you have a calling? Did you feel like the Lord was calling you to something bigger than just football?
It was a number of years. I began feeling a tug my very first year in college, and I started exploring it a little bit, and it probably wasn't until my second and third year, after talking to a lot of priests, receiving resources, going on discernment retreats, that I would say that I really felt like I was being called to the seminary. And I decided that I think that I want to finish out my college career first, and then I would go and do that after that I finished my college career.
Was it emotional for you realizing you were playing your very last game here in that Texas Bowl, knowing that you would never put on a K-State uniform ever again because the good Lord was calling you to something bigger? And in fact, from what I understand, you had a little injury right at the beginning of that game.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. I, on the first drive of the game, suffered an injury. Had a player come in pretty fast and take out my leg, and suffered a sprained ankle. Luckily, it could have been worse, and that was kind of when the announcement came. But the funny thing was that because of COVID, I was actually granted an extra year of eligibility. So I could have came back for another year, and I hadn't necessarily told my coaches yes or no yet. So I had a lot of discerning to do when I came back from break on whether I would say yes to the seminary now or come back for another year. And I think if you would have told me 5 years ago that I had an extra year of college football, I would take any opportunity I could to play football, and I would never give it up, because there's nothing material that I probably love more in this world than football. And then here I am. God does crazy things to you, because I'm giving up an extra year of college football that I never thought I would to go follow him. And it was much easier decision than I ever would have thought, and it had nothing to do with me, all to do with his grace and giving me the grace and the strength to do it.
We're going to take a short break. I want to invite our listeners, if you have a question for Landry Weber, a Kansas State football player who is going from the football field to the seminary, answering the call to the priesthood. If you'd like to be part of our conversation, you can give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to talk about this discernment process on the other side, and many, many other things, including the many challenges that lie ahead. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back as we continue our conversation with Landry Weber. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks for being with us as we continue our conversation with Kansas State Wildcat wide receiver and special teams player Landry Weber, who is with us this morning. We're talking about his football career and how the Lord is calling him to the seminary. Welcome back, Landry.
Good to be back.
Landry, I want to talk a little bit about the process over the last 3+ years, this discernment process of being called to the priesthood. Can you tell us what it's been like, maybe some of the challenges that you've had to deal with in following the Lord?
One of the very first challenges that I faced was just even being open to the calling. From a young age, I couldn't tell you why, but I kind of had this feeling that I might be called to the priesthood, and I shoved it in the back of my mind. I didn't want much to do with it. And as some signs kind of took place early in college, and it became more apparent that this is something I'm not going to be able to run away from, I had to do a lot of prayer to first even become open to the idea of it. And then once I became open to it, I started to have a desire, a growing desire to actually want to do it. And kind of being able to say yes after that, it was a very private thing that I hadn't told much people. And the next step was really growing the confidence to be open about the vocation and telling when people ask, what do you plan on doing after school? Telling them the truth that this is what I'm going to do, because it's abnormal. And you're going to get different reactions from different people. Some people pat you on the back and say, awesome. And some people kind of change the subject and don't kind of give you a weird look. And it was growing comfortable with that. And just being growing in my faith and desiring to say yes and follow his will.
What was the reaction of your parents and your family?
They were all extremely supportive, which was very helpful. I always say, if you ask my mom, she will always tell you that what she prays for most is that we just all follow God's will and do what we think he's calling us to do, and she doesn't care what that is. So when I told her that this is what I think I'm being called to do, she was just more happy that I found some clarity than anything, and she's extremely supportive, and everyone in my family was.
Did you find a good priest or a spiritual director to kind of help you along your way?
I did. So my Catholic church here on my college campus has two great priests, Father Gail Hammerschmidt and Father Drew Hoffman, both two guys that have been great friends in my life, great spiritual fathers, and they've been guiding me and helping me a ton along this journey. And they've been extremely helpful and great role models and great men to see what great priests look like. And I'm sure they make a lot of young men be open to the priesthood because they see how awesome these two guys are.
How important has been the Queen of Victory, our Blessed Mother Mary, in helping you to follow the Lord, to do whatever he tells you?
I probably would not be where I am today on my faith journey without her. I consecrated myself to her twice with 33 days to Morning Glory. Did that twice throughout my time here in college, and was extremely beneficial and different ways. Just found different things stuck out to me both times that I did it. But the first time I did it was definitely more in a time of uncertainty when I was not sure if I was being called or not, if I wasn't ready to say yes. And she took me right to Jesus, and I continue a daily devotion to the rosary. And I can tell a major difference when I ask for Mary's intercession and she helps me have clarity, and they say, I think the quote is that it's the quickest and easiest way to Jesus, and I feel like I've experienced that.
It sounds like you've been receiving some great spiritual direction and great formation here before you even get into the seminary. How important has been going to Mass as much as you can on a daily basis, receiving the Holy Eucharist, spending time with our Lord in adoration, taking advantage of the beauty of confession, in helping you to train to get you ready, kind of like a training camp to get ready for the seminary?
It's been huge, and it's funny that you mention it, because that's kind of the attitude that I have about it when it comes, is that I need to build strength. And unlike football, where I can build strength myself, I kind of have the attitude that I'm nothing, and the only strength I can get is from Jesus and his grace. And because of that, I need to go spend time in adoration, and I need to receive the Eucharist to receive that strength and go to confession, be forgiven for my sins, and it definitely provides that grace and that strength in my life. I can tell a major difference if I don't spend a time in adoration one day, or if I don't receive the Eucharist as frequently as I would like. I can tell a major difference, and when I start relying on myself instead of Jesus, things do not go well, and the Eucharist has been major for me.
Landry, and we're joined this morning by Landry Weber, Kansas State football player, wide receiver, special teams player who is leaving the game that he loves to enter the seminary. Landry, can you talk a little bit about when you'll be entering the seminary and what you're looking forward to the most of the moment when you actually become a seminarian?
So I'll be joining the seminary here in August. I'm currently in the process of filling out the application and going through that process. And
that would be the Kansas City Archdiocese?
Kansas City Archdiocese, yes. And they send their seminarians to St. Louis and Denver. And I'm applying for the Denver location. St. John Vianney, I think, is the name. And I can't say I totally know what happens at seminary, and that kind of excites me. It's a journey that I'm going on that I'm not totally prepared or know what I'm getting myself into, but I do know that the first year is kind of a spirituality year at Denver where they don't do a whole lot of school. It's more a lot of formation, and I'm really looking forward to just nosediving in and building my whole entire day and weeks and months around Jesus and around growing and learning about him and dedicating my whole life to that rather than my whole day being focused around football and only an hour or two being around Jesus. So that really excites me. And then I look forward to meeting a lot of great men and just learning a lot about myself, because I'm going to be around a lot of great men and also going to have to find out, dig deep and find out a lot about the flaws that I have that I'm maybe too prideful to address, and to be able to address stuff like that and just continue to grow.
You know, football has been called the ultimate team sport. Can you talk a little bit about some of the spiritual life lessons of the game of football that carry over to our Catholic faith? After all, football teaches us a lot about discipline, dedication, teamwork, preparation, just to name a few of these virtues that also apply to the spiritual life.
Yeah, there's a ton of great qualities that the game of football teaches you, and you just mention a bunch of them that really help me in my spiritual life. Days when I don't feel like praying or don't feel like spending time with Jesus. There's a lot of days you don't feel like working out, and a lot of days you don't feel like showing up for football, but you do it anyways, and kind of the same goes. And I kind of always think of football as this constant battle that you're preparing for the whole time. You have 12 games, and they're all battles in their own way. And you always need to be prepared, and you're always preparing for these battles. And the faith is kind of a very similar way for me, that it's a constant battle with the evil one. And I need to train and I need to prepare just like I do in football for this battle. And I can never let my guard down, and I always need to just keep improving and growing in my faith.
No question about it. The importance of preparation, I think, is such a key to the game of football. Coaches like your dad spend hours and hours and hours preparing for games to put together a good sermon as a priest. It takes a lot of preparation. So I think that just that virtue alone, along with the discipline, are things that really carry over into the priesthood.
You know, I really hope so, and I think that, you know, God does everything for a reason, and there's a reason that he allowed me to play so many years of football, and I'm confident that it'll in some way or form prepare me and help me along my journey here in the seminary and potentially the priesthood.
Landry, when you reflect back to all the many blessings, you know, going back to as a little guy, being an all-state high school football player, making it on the K-State team and doing a great job, what are you going to remember the most about your football career?
You know, really just going to remember all the guys that I did it with. As I was around the complex, once my career was over, I was just so great and exciting to see all the guys that I did it with, and the relationships and bonds that were formed are lifelong bonds. And that's really what I will remember. The achievements will fade, but those relationships will, will last forever.
Finally, a word of advice for other football players, other athletes who are hearing your words and may also be feeling a tug in their hearts from the good Lord, perhaps to the priesthood, and have been experiencing some similar discerning process.
I would just advise them to be open to Him, and that whatever you give Jesus, He will give you five times as much in return. And you saying yes to Jesus, He'll put His arm around you and He'll be with you every step of the way.
It has been a blessing. It's been a joy to meet you here on the show. Landry, you are in our prayers. All the best. Many blessings to you. And one day I hope to call you Father Landry.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on today.
God bless you. Landry Weber has been with us, and we wish him all the best. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Here in the middle of hockey season, our story today called Not All Saves Are in the Net from Sunny Skies. 16-year-old Corey Hemberger was playing hockey on frozen Lake Afton in Pennsylvania with his friend when he heard screams for help. A 13-year-old boy had fallen through the ice, and his friend was trying to reach him. He was screaming for help. His friend tried to help him and ended up going in two, recalled Corey. Corey rushed toward the two with his hockey stick. I was just kind of in the moment. My adrenaline was going, my heart was pumping, so I just went for it and hoped God was with me. That's Corey as he spoke to a local news station, WPVI. Corey said he heard the ice cracking beneath him, but was able to get the two boys out without falling in by using his hockey stick. Corey's mother, Lisa Hemberger, didn't learn the extent of what had happened until the next day when she saw a post on Facebook. All superheroes don't wear capes. Some play ice hockey. Lisa said, I'm like, hey, my kids play hockey. Let me look at that. She soon realized the message was posted by the mother of one of the boys that Corey had rescued. She reached out to the mom to say it was her son, Corey, who helped the boys get out. She just wanted to thank me for his heroic efforts, said Lisa, and that her son is okay and without Corey, she doesn't know what would have happened. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He'll keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and evermore.
Thanks so much, Glenn. I love a hockey story. You can always download any of Glenn's Story Corners or listen to any of our interviews, any segments of our show. If you'd like to share, for example, the interview that we just did with Landry Weber, a K-State football player on his way to the priesthood, all you have to do is go to relevantradio.com or on our Relevant Radio app, and you can listen to any one of these segments or share it with your friends. You can also send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. That'll do it on this edition of Morning Air for Glenn Leverance, producers Gabby Burke, Mariano Gomez, Sarah Tafoya, the whole entire Morning Air team. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.